Thabo, standing in for Clement. And 702 is in conversation with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, discussing 3 decades of the promotion of human rights in SA. And we do know that this year, South Africa celebrates 30 years of constitutional democracy and human rights. And this Human Rights Month, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, through the National Conference on the State of Human Rights, is looking at the progress that has been made and charting a way forward in advancing human rights. And we always speak about human rights since 1994. And speaking at the conference yesterday, you'd remember that Chief Justice Raymond Zondo said that it was important for the country to reflect on the gains made in the last 3 decades and chart a way forward. And we should all be doing that, thinking about what has been attained and charting the way forward. Where do we go from here? Joining us to chat about this issue is none other than the Director General at the Department of Justice, who is Doc Mashabane. Mr. Mashabane, thanks very much for making time. Welcome to 702. Good morning to you.
Thank you very much, Thabo. Good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
I've already said that it's been 3 decades, 30 years, and of promotion of human rights. How has this impacted the daily lives of ordinary citizens who are listening to us right now?
Look, it can take us the whole week to explain how it has impacted citizens. But in broad terms, I think the commitment of 1994 was to build a different country, was to build a country that has a culture of respect for human rights. So that's why today, as we observe the 30 years of constitutional democracy, we're taking the moment to reflect and say South Africa before 1994 and South Africa of post-1994. So in general terms, the South Africa before 1994 is completely different from South Africa post-1994 in terms of general, you know, issues of human rights, civil and political, you know, different rights, the right of freedom of expression, religion, and so on and so forth. But over and above that, when we talk about human rights, I know generally sometimes the focus is on the civil and the political rights. But human rights broadly include socioeconomic rights. So this is the right to education, the right to health, the right of access to housing. And sometimes citizens, because of the current challenges that they face, they tend to think that there's no human rights that they're enjoying, which is true. But if you look at the wide range of rights in the Bill of Rights, there would be one right that every citizen would say, I enjoy this right maybe more than this. For example, we know the challenge of crime. And crime itself then makes all of us to feel unsafe, to feel insecure. And in that way, then it affects the way we feel about whether there's human rights, there's a culture of respect for human rights or not.
And I mean, you've spoken about crime, and a lot of South Africans will reflect on that and say that crime is one element of society that is truly infringing on people's rights, the right to safety and the freedom of movement amongst others, freedom of association amongst others, and various other rights as well. And so a question then would beckon that, have we made progress? Have we made progress in making sure that these rights are enshrined in our society? They don't just live in their statutes.
Look, we have made progress in the different areas. Before I'll come back to the issue of crime being a challenge and an affront generally to the whole culture of human rights. If you look at the number of people who have matriculated in South Africa post-1994, the number from 1996 has increased, you know. And if you look at the people who have access to housing today compared to before 1994, there has been an increase, the same as primary health and all the different socioeconomic rights. However, that doesn't mean that we have reached our goal, we have achieved it over the past 8 years. And could much have been done? Yes, a lot could have been done. And the journey is still long ahead of us. A lot still has to be done. Comes to safety, a lot has been done in terms of access to justice, reviewing the criminal, justice system, making sure it works, people get arrested, get convicted, and get sent for correctional services and correctional rehabilitation. However, there is still a lot of challenge in so far as our criminal justice is concerned. And we know the concerns that citizens raise about the high level of crime, And that's what the state continues, because Chapter 2 binds the entire state, meaning that government has a responsibility to make sure that programs are implemented. And as you will know, so the police implement programs in spite of the challenges that we continue to see, the number of crimes, the different heinous crimes that are committed. But still, the state, you know, is doing its best to implement programs to combat crime, to make sure that the crime levels are reduced. And we all know very well that even if we are doing well with the other rights, but this one of people feeling safe and secure is very key, because that becomes sort of a requirement for the enjoyment of the entirety of the other rights.
Sure. And some of those rights may not be as tangible as others, and admittedly so. You admit, I'm sure, Mr. Mashabane, that inequality is one of the serious issues that we are facing in South Africa. And I'm sure you are also aware that the Gini Coefficient Index 2023 highlighted that South Africa continues to top the list of the most unequal societies in terms of wealth distribution. Where I am broadcasting from right now in Sandton, and just a stone throw away in Alexander, would be Chalk and Cheese. And you'd remember again that the Economist, publication once published a very glaring picture of these two towns that I'm talking about right now. What has been done to close that gap? Because yes, there's crime, and yes, there are other things, but there's something that's frustrating in many South Africans inside our hearts and our minds, and that's the inequality. It's not as tangible, but its effects are dire nonetheless. What's been done to close the gap?
It is, in fact, put differently, you can say inequality. It is tangible. It's just that you cannot go and point and say this is. But the fact that you are referring to Sandton and Alexandra, that's the tangibility part of inequality. That as you look at the, you know, M1 separating the two areas, you know, that's tangible. You can tell that if you are looking to the north, Alexandra is on the right and Sandton is on the left. But you see, the issue of inequality in this country, I'm not an expert on it, but it has a deep-seated historic, root. And currently the conference is discussing the state of the economy, and the issue of inequality surely is going to come up. But if you look at the programs of government post-1994, all the interventions, both in education, you know, both in social wage and so on and so forth, that has been geared towards trying to address, you know, this perennial challenge of inequality.
Yeah.
It's very stubborn, and you can see it may look like nothing is being done. But if you look at the inequality, you must also look it in contrast to the state of our economy. Over the past decade, the economy has been struggling. If you look at the period, post 1994, when the economy was growing up to the level of 5%, and that's what was required to halve unemployment and deal with the, you know, joblessness and poverty. And the period post that, which is the past 10 years, you see that inequality is getting entrenched when the economy is not growing, because opportunities are not being created for the majority of South Africans to find jobs. Because to tackle inequality, you want people to be in employment. You want people to be in decent jobs. You want to be, you know, people to be gainfully employed. So if you look at the number of unemployment, I mean, the rate of unemployment in South Africa and the rate of employment, they one way or the other speak to the challenge of inequality that we're facing.
Inevitably, if inequality persists, or the state of inequality remains prevalent, it would be difficult for an ordinary South African to truly perceive the well-being of rights and the presence of rights in their lives, because there is this cloud that is shrouding their vision to see the prevalent rights that are being spoken of.
You are correct. It's not even going to be the issue of them of a perception, but it's a lived experience. They don't need to perceive it. You're not going to tell anyone about human rights when they go to bed on an empty stomach. You're not going to tell anyone about human rights who has been looking for a job and they are not employed, they are not able to take care of their families. So that's why we are able to appreciate this intersectionality. And that's why this is a conference on human rights, but it's busy discussing whether our economy has been transformed, whether the economy is resilient, in order to, you know, to make sure that there's growth to fight unemployment, poverty, and underdevelopment. Because we understand this intersectionality between the state of the economy and the enjoyment of human rights in the country. So that's why there's this discussion to say, what intervention should the state put in place to make sure that the economy grows? And it doesn't just grow, but it grows and creates opportunities, and it becomes inclusive so that the majority of the members of our population are able to participate in that economy. Because what you see with our economy not growing is that still yet the number of people who are rich post-1994 increases. But at the same time, then you end up then having this wide gap between the poor and those that are rich. When in fact, and the percentage of those who control the economy is smaller, and then you have majority excluded from the economy. So that point is very critical, that for us to fully realize that vision for South Africa, where there's a respect for human rights, the economy is at the center.
Sure.
So we can talk about human rights, but without an economy that is able to deal with all these socioeconomic challenges, that will be a pipe dream for us.
There's currently a national conference on the state of human rights, and my guest is Doc Mashabane, Director General at the Department of Justice. We'll continue this discussion just after the break, 13 to 11.
702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Speaking to the Director General at the Department of Justice, Mr. Doc Mashabane, this is on the backdrop of the National Conference on the State of Human Rights. And I'd love to hear from you about the human rights that you somehow live every single day, experience, encounter, interact with, or you feel that it's not sufficient. In various conversations, people would tell you that, yeah, but these rights, what do they do for me? And that's why we are having this discussion with the DG of the Department of Justice. Mr. Mashabane, South Africa is composed of a number of societies, people of different persuasions. When we are looking at social coercion, and when we are looking at the 30 years of societal transformation in this country, are you confident that the different sectors of the people that I've spoken about are buying into this much cherished vision of a united, democratic South Africa? Do we buy into it, all of us?
I don't know of any society where you will say everyone buys to the common vision. But my view will be the vision as outlined in the Constitution, our forebears, I think, had the foresight or the wisdom, given our history of more than 300 years of colonialism, oppression of the majority, and apartheid. I think that's the best vision they could have laid out for us, even as we look back over the past 30 years. I was young back then, but looking at what they did, my view and many of us still think that this is the best route that they have opted to, given, you know, the complexities of our society, as you explained, and the general composition of our society. I don't see any other vision that they would have opted for than a united, democratic, non-racist, and non-sexist society. So my view would be, our take is that majority of South Africans are committed to the vision, and without necessarily saying this community or that community, across the different communities, you have men and women of goodwill, South Africans who are patriots, who are committed to building, to pursuing this vision of a united, democratic, and non-racial and non-sexist South Africa. With all the challenges that we're earlier talking about, the reality of the matter is that for people who know, even just from reading what pre-1994 looked like, I don't think anyone wished to go back there, in spite of all the challenges, whether unemployment. But if you look at the general areas, for example, Statistician General was telling us the number of people who now have a matric, qualification or post-matric, the number has significantly increased post-1994. That's why even in terms of the opportunities, and whether social services, there has been an increase. So the issue now is to just appreciate that we may have these challenges, but we must never think that the problem is the vision that our forebears have adopted for us and is entrenched in the Constitution.
I suspect that the next 20, 30 years would be more of an interesting challenge in sustaining what has been initiated since 1994. And that would be a litmus test which guides us as to whether we are winning or losing against the tide of unemployment, poverty and inequality. Just to summarize some of the broader challenges that we have on the backdrop of the human rights culture that has been established and that was started off in 1994 with the intention of making South Africa a better society. But what can we look forward to in those years? 20, 30 years of South Africa's democracy and further advancement of human rights? What's in store for us?
Look, my take, Thabo, is that, you know, the foundation of this nation was laid in blood and sweat. There are people who died for us to have this democracy. So that's the very first thing that we must appreciate. And my view is that they have laid a robust, you know, foundation that was not based on selfishness, was based on selflessness and sacrifice. And that's why many of them paid the ultimate sacrifice, for this democracy. And the fact that, the framework that they adopted and the political order, which is constitutional democracy that they put forward, has brought us here 3 decades down the line. I think we must agree that it is a solid foundation. Going forward, we need to make a reflection as we do currently here in the conference, but generally as a society, and say, this is how far we have come. This foundation, we must never tamper with it, but what programs do we put in place to make sure that we continue to build on this solid foundation? 30 years in the life of any nation, I don't know of any nation global that has resolved all its problems in 30 years. And there's a lot that we can learn from the different administrations.
Sure.
As you'll see, people characterize it differently. They talk about the first age, the second age, and the third age. We look back and say, but there were good things that were done during a particular period, whether it's the first age or the second age. Out of those, how do we strengthen and come up with programs that will take us forward? Because our forebears were only visionary. You know, they had a good foresight. They were bold and ambitious. But we have the lived experience. You and I can then look back and say, this is where we could improve and then project to the future for the next 10, 15, 20, and 50 years.
And I'm just, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of the integrity of our institutions, which in many instances should be the guardians or custodians of the rights that you and I are talking about right now. We know that in the past, without dragging you into the current affairs issues, some of those institutions were reported to have been weakened by those in power. And we depend heavily on institutional integrity of amongst chapter 9 institutions and others to really be a strong backbone to this body called human rights culture in South Africa. How is this conference going to see to it that it's not just another talk shop? We have plenty of conferences. I'm sure you'll agree with me, Mr. Mashabane. And whenever people hear about it, they think, oh, it's people in lovely suits gathering speaking lovely English and throwing legal jargons around. Is this another talk shop, this conference, or are we going to see more?
It definitely shouldn't be. Those issues that you are raising are very critical. The Chief Justice was here yesterday. He spoke about the independence of the judiciary, and he appreciated that the judiciary plays a key role as a vanguard, as a defender of our constitution and of human rights, and it has done that. And there will be a discussion today as well on the role of constitutional bodies, particularly the Chapter 9 institutions. You look across the countries, there's no constitutional democracy that survives without strong state institutions, particularly in our case, Chapter 9, we call them state institutions that are promoting constitutional democracy. So there's strengthening of those. And we know in the past 30 years, there was a period where all these institutions were hollowed out. They were weakened, to the lowest level you can ever think of. But the process of rebuilding has begun, strengthening of these institutions. The judiciary has come under attack, not from every South African, but from some quarters and some quarters. And the South Africans of goodwill have stood up and defended the judiciary and said the judiciary is critical for the future of our democracy. So what has to be done, part of the discussion as well, is to how do we capacitate this state institution, including the prosecution authority, to deal with the challenges of crime, deal with the challenges of corruption. That is a serious affront to our constitutional order, as well as to the culture of human rights. So going forward from this conference, as we finish tomorrow, we hope to emerge from here with a concrete plan on how to make sure that we continue to protect, promote and advance, you know, the respect for human rights in South Africa.
Mr. Doc Mashabane, really appreciate your time. Thanks for chatting to us. All the best at the conference, and I'm sure we'll touch base again very soon. Advocate Doc Mashabane is Director General at the Department of Justice. 702 was in conversation with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development discussing 3 decades of the promotion of human rights in South Africa. 2 minutes to 11.